Jacob.
What is the best Keanu Reeves movie?
Best Keanu Reeves movie. I am going... Is this another security question?
Yes.
Are you trying to get out of me? Okay. Yeah, that is my security question. Go to on most of my password things. My favorite Keanu Reeves movie. It's got... I mean, I feel like it's a cop-out, but The Matrix, probably.
Okay.
I know he's so much more, but like... It's definitely not Constantine. It's not Speed. Speed... I mean, like, if I had seen Speed in its entirety instead of just like... piecewise on cable channels, I'd probably say Speed. What movie has he like really acted the shit out of in? It's not Devil's Advocate.
I don't know. I'm very particular to the John Wick series, but I wouldn't
I've never
say
seen
that
one.
He oh okay well they're
no,
very good.
I
wouldn't say
like
that he acted the shit out of them, but they're very good.
Yeah, I mean, like, he didn't act the shit out of Matrix either, but like, it's still iconic, that role. I feel like... Let me see. Let's look at his filmography. Why don't we look at his filmography?
It's Keanu. Certainly not Replicas. I don't know if you've spent any time with the 2018 film Replicas, but if you haven't, I suggest you don't.
I didn't know it existed.
It's bad. It's bad.
All right. Let's see if I can find a Keanu Reeves movie that I really loved. Bill and Ted's Face the Music. Is that a thing? Oh, God. It's coming out.
Yeah. 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 That's a thing.
I wish they had ones where he was, like, leading. I mean, he was in The Scanner Darkly, and I feel like if I saw that when I wasn't on pain meds, I'd probably like it more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Scanner Darkly was really weird. Alex Jones was also in that? I don't know, man.
Okay, that's fine. I just wonder if there was a standout.
I'm sure there...
He's been in a lot of movies.
Probably one in here.
That's the thing.
I'm just looking for ones that I've seen that, like, really spoke to me. The Matrix was good. We already said that. Replacements? It was fine. I think he's just like a genuinely nice and generous person that lives, that exists in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he's not like an Academy Award winner. Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at all of his stuff and it's just there's like no standout performance that's not The Matrix. He's in Parenthood. That was a good role. Didn't he play the boyfriend?
In like the TV
show? Parenthood
with
Steve Martin? No, Steve Martin's Parenthood.
Oh. You get to see that. Yeah, I don't know. I really do enjoy how like generous he is and all. But he's in so many movies that I feel like people just rag on. You know, I talk about Keanu Reeves with friends and they're like, oh, no. No, no, no. They talk about 47 Ronin and...
Was that bad?
Well, that's what they say. I don't think so.
Allegedly.
I really liked it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean...
I think he's just... I don't think he's a bad actor. I think he kind of... In the way that I experience him through my friends, I feel like he's treated a little bit like Nicolas Cage, in that he's in a lot of things. A lot of those things aren't good, but I don't think that he's a bad actor.
No, like Nick Cage has standout performances though. Nick Cage is like Adaptation, one of the best films of the last, I forget what year it came out. It must be 20 years ago almost.
Yeah,
at
that's
this
a
point.
Good movie.
Yeah, Adaptation is amazing. I mean, they're just like great Cage roles, you know, like the fact that I can list one where he just gives an amazing performance is means that he's not in the same plane as Keanu Reeves. Like Keanu is just like, Keanu is Keanu, you know, and like Constantine.
Oh, come
good.
On. I could watch that movie
no,
a thousand times.
No. Like Devil's Advocate, like what is that accent? Like he's just like the movie can be interesting and like funny or like cool looking and cool concepts, but like it doesn't mean he's a good actor in it. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, that's how I feel like The Matrix was just a nice journey for him. The first Matrix,
yeah.
That is.
I need to revisit those. It's been a very long time. I honestly think the last time I saw The Matrix was on VHS.
Yeah, just watch the first one. I mean, I don't think there's anything else you really need
okay.
after that.
Fair enough.
Until they're going to reboot it, aren't they? They're rebooting The Matrix.
I'm about to
now.
Reboot my computer.
Oh, okay. That's fine. If you have to. All right, I'm going to keep recording. Maybe I can just do some karaoke while Jacob is doing this. Let's bring up the song that's been stuck in my head since I saw it in the credits of True Detective, Episode 5, Desperado Under the Eaves. Oh, Jake's calling back. I'm gonna reject his call. I'm sitting in the Hollywood Hawaiian Hotel. I was staring at my empty cup, coffee cup.
There you are.
I was thinking the gypsy wasn't lying. All the salty margaritas in Los Angeles, I'm gonna drink them up. And if California slides into the ocean, like the mystics and statistics say it will, I predict this motel will be standing until I pay my bill. Dun, 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 bum, bam, bam. Don't decide. Oh, I messed up. Oh, you're back.
Oh, I'm back. Hi.
No, there he is.
There you are.
I was just doing some karaoke. Well, you couldn't hear it, but I was doing karaoke.
Oh, no, I could hear it.
You could hear this music?
No, I heard the karaoke.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good.
How you been, dude?
Today has not been great, but...
No?
Nah, it's fine.
You want to talk about it?
Not really. I think it comes down to just not sleeping. I think that's really it. Like, whenever I'm like, oh, today's a shitty day, I'm like, did I sleep last night? No, and that's probably it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I get that, man. I sleep schedule for me has been really rough for the past couple of weeks, so I'm like trying to catch back up and get into a normal rhythm, and it's been hard.
Because of all your raging in Palm Springs?
I don't know if raging's the right way to go about it, but Palm Springs had
something to do with it. Dude, I saw pictures of that ram, dude, that goat ram thing.
That was
I know
awesome.
You were raging with that goat.
It's a bighorn sheep.
It's a bighorn sheep. Okay, so yeah. Jacob sent me a picture during his work retreat last week of, you look like you're on a hill, like of some sort, but like a rocky hill.
Yeah, we were hiking through this little, I don't know if you could, they're little mountains. We were hiking through like basically the valley of a little mountain.
And there's a picture of a big horned sheep is what it appears to be the name of this animal. Jake was very close to it, and I was very concerned for his safety.
I was very close. I mean, that picture makes it look a little bit closer because I zoomed in two times. Oh. Optical or digital zoom, not optical. Everybody else there had their like newer iPhones, and their pictures turned out 2X. Amazing. And
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I all things considered, I was probably about 15 feet away from that thing. And it was kind of mm-hmm. standing up on a bluff. I told Emma, who I was with, like, Emma, if this thing really wanted to, it could run down the sheer face between us and probably yes. strike us at 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, no, that's that's why I said get out of there, man.
No, they're cool. Out. We were with a guide, and the guide has seen them before. He says they're not usually here, but over the past couple of weeks, they've been here because we've been getting a lot of rain. So apparently, there's a lot more like greenery down towards the base of the mountains. So they're down there, and so we at first didn't see them. He's like, "Oh well, usually they're right here." And then about a couple hundred yards down the path around a corner, there was a whole bunch of them. I don't know if I sent you the picture of the pack or the. I don't know what you call a gaggle.
There was like, I think I saw like more than one sheep, but there was definitely one with big horns that was definitely the centerpiece of this photo.
Yeah, well, there were, I think most of them, if not all of them, had horns. I'm not sure how that works with that species, but I think we counted like around 8 or 9 in a group. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, and that one came up and was just kind of like standing over us, basically, on this bluff, and he was totally cool about it. And then after a while, after we got our pictures and stuff, he kind of tapped his foot on the ground a couple times. It wasn't like really, you know, he wasn't scraping it, but he was tapping it, saying, okay, that's enough, move along. And we did. It's pretty cool.
You escaped with your life. You're lucky.
Yeah. We saw him on the way back too, but they were a little further back into the hills. So
they followed you home. They were stalking me the entire trip.
We didn't live far from that spot. It would have been really cool to see them. Although in Palm Springs, I don't know. Have you ever been there?
I don't think so.
Okay. Palm Springs is a very strange place. And technically, I guess we were in Indio, which is where Coachella takes place.
Oh, sick, bro.
That is a strange, strange area. I don't think I saw a single like standalone home in the entire area. That every place in Indio is within the borders of basically a development area. Like they're all walled off communities. You have to have a code to get into the community, and then there are all these cookie cutter houses that have very nice lawns and lemon trees in the front yard and pools in the back, but they're all within communities. Like there are no single houses anywhere to be found.
That sounds nice.
To a degree.
Do you think it's nice? I know Aaron would not think it's nice. So
I mean, I like being able to see more than a wall, but I don't know. You could see the mountains over the wall. So that was nice. It was like the, you know, the mountains with the snow caps on the one side, and in the morning, the fog coming across is very cool.
It seems beautiful.
No, it was a cool trip. I think the sheep was maybe like my favorite. Might have been my favorite part. I just really like to see wild animals that I've never seen before. And
I don't want to see those. Oh my God. I don't want to see any wild animals ever.
Really?
Unless it's on the internet.
Oh man. No, we saw some cool stuff. Like that was probably the coolest just because we were so close and I didn't expect to see that.
No, this is how horror movies start. You know, like you're like, oh, I want to go on safari. Then next thing you know, a cheetah's biting your leg off.
Well, you're not going to like the next thing I saw, which was actually inside the house. Any guesses?
Is it a bug? A tarantula?
Not a tarantula. I wanted scorpion. To see one. It was a scorpion.
Yeah, no. Shake your boots out, dude.
I know. Well, that's the thing. We had been there, I think, 2 or 3 days at that point. And we were playing pool. And it was my shot. I was at the head of the table. And I was about to go. And I'm about to like bend down to take a shot and I see something on the ground and I back up and I kind of like bend over to see, and it's about the size of a quarter, but it looked completely flat. I'm like, what the heck is that? And I look, I'm like, oh my gosh, someone stepped on a scorpion. I thought that the scorpion had been smushed at some point. It was just a flattened crust of whatever this thing was. But then everybody comes and looks around and our CEO takes a pool stick and pokes it and it scurries across the floor. And before you know it, it crawls into a space between where the hardwood ended and the wall was unfinished at the base. There was no baseboard. So it just basically went into the area between those two and then climbed up into the wall, which is a little scary. It was the last we saw of it, but we definitely checked our shoes a lot more after that.
You definitely climbed into your bag and it's going to kill you tonight in Ohio.
Yeah, I don't think it was a poisonous one, or venom, poisonous, right? Yeah. So
aren't they all poisonous?
To certain degrees. I mean, so are bees, but they're more dangerous to some people than others. And
have you ever had your scorpion allergy check?
I have not.
You can be allergic to scorpions.
That's true. That's true. One of our staff members is allergic to bees, so after we found it, he was very careful to stay away from that portion of the room.
The portion of the room? That corner. Just don't go in that corner, James. James, don't go over in that corner, please.
Which is really hard to do when you're playing pool, and and then the cue ball is over on that side, but it's okay. I had his back. I was watching for
there him. There are a lot of windmills in Palm Springs from these pictures that I'm looking at. Did you see any of these windmills?
Yeah, we drove past like the windmill fields. There's just gigantic, like acres upon acres of those things. And
I'm counting all different sizes and ages. 150 windmills right now in this field.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Do you think they're all for a show?
Well, a lot of them weren't moving. I'm sure there's reason for that. You know, they got to be maintained.
Right.
There were some that were definitely a lot older. Some only had like, they were much smaller. They only had two blades. They were kind of yellowish, like a Star Wars toy turns after it's been in the sun for too long. But yeah, there was quite a lot of them. They're all facing different directions.
I so very much want renewable energy and wind power everywhere. But at the same time, I love when I would go back to Boston and there's just this one on the, like in Revere, when you drive through Revere, Boston, for any Bostonites listening to this, just knowing what I'm talking about. There's just this one giant windmill in this, you know, pretty like just shitty stretch of road where there's just like gas stations and like just lots of gas stations and lots of trucks and like there's a horse racing track. Suffolk Downs is right there. And it's on the way to the airport, car rental places, just this one lone windmill. I can't imagine it's doing jack shit, but it's just really funny. Owned? I have no idea. I've never actually looked into it, but it's just this giant windmill that just stands there in the middle and it spins. It spins. It's terrifying. It's huge. But I'm like, what is this doing? What is it doing right now? Is it doing anything besides just looking cool?
How is like when you say huge, area? How big?
I mean, it's got to be like 100 feet tall.
Okay.
And these blades are massive. It's big enough to scare me. Like, yeah. If you're megalophobic, it's pretty. That's pretty much me. And it does scare me as I drive past it because I think the turbine, or is that what you call it? Turbine? The blades are going to like fly off and into the road and just destroy my car as I drive by.
That would be pretty nasty. It doesn't spin that fast, though.
I mean, it doesn't look fast, but that's like relativity, isn't it? You know, it's actually spinning at like, you know, 60 miles an hour or whatever, but it looks like it's just going pretty slow because you're far away from it or it's big.
Yeah. My dad's neighbor has one. It's, I don't think it's 100 feet tall. I think it's probably closer to 30 or 40, but it's a private one that like powers their home. It's kind of cool.
Powers the whole home.
I'm not sure if it powers the whole home, but I think it works in tandem with they also have, I think they have solar panels on their roof. So I'm assuming that they all funnel power into like maybe some backup cells that they store in the garage that maybe powers the home during certain hours of the day.
I have a friend who converted his entire house to solar. It's amazing. Wow. Yeah. Family like, friend, I guess. We're not close enough for me to ask him about it.
Absolutely zero power, like draw from the grid.
I'm pretty sure he also, he had the biggest thing I remember about their house when I would visit it as a kid was that they had these giant bay windows that faced the sun. They were like kind of on the edge of a mountain sort of kind of thing. And they had these giant windows that must've been like 15 feet tall and these big water tanks, clear water tanks that they used to solar to heat this. And that was how I remember they heated their home with that hot water from the sun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I think it's a costly investment. Like it takes a lot to get the panels or to get those systems into place. But I guess if you have enough of it, you can reap the rewards over time.
Well, I've definitely like the solar conversion thing. There are companies that will do it for free for you. From what I've heard.
Oh, really?
Like I have friends out of college that just were like, oh, like I'm working for a company now that just converts homes to solar. Cause I guess you just feed it back into the grid and then the grid pays you. If you're not using electricity and you're giving electricity to the grid, then you don't have to pay for electricity at a certain point. I think there must've been a radio lab on this.
Oh yeah. I'm seeing this now. You've sent me the Windstill.
Yeah, the Windstill in Revere, Mass.
That's great.
The windmill was the epitome of the green economy in this area.
It looks like there's like a factory with a big smokestack right behind it, too.
Yeah, definitely. That's Revere. and came to symbolize what we were to believe was the wave of the future, but it really has become a Don Quixote metaphor where certain political philosophies were chased at the expense of common sense. In other words, off chasing windmills instead of realistic energy policy. That's a reference that was just begging to be made for every windmill that's ever existed by people who oppose windmills specifically. Like anybody who opposes windmills who doesn't know what Don Quixote is just really just shooting themselves in the foot in terms of making a point.
Have you seen that new Don Quixote movie?
No. Is Adam Driver in it?
He is.
Yeah, you said the name, and then I remembered something about him involving Don Quixote, so I assume it must be that.
Yeah, it's this is that one that's been like a really long time coming. It's finally here. It's Terry Gilliam's Don Quixote, which I think he's tried making. Well, I think he's continually tried to make it. I think it's been one continuous effort that's been fraught with various problems. But he's had to recast the movie like 3 different times, and there's been all sorts of production delays and stalls, but finally it's out and I have it, but I've yet to watch it yet, but it looks really good.
Oh, it's already out?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure, like, I don't even know how it's distributed, but it's been very like quietly circulating. Like I think it kind of lost all steam in the press over the years. And now that it's finally like here, no one's really that amped about it.
Is it in English?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. It looks pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it looks fun. I'm probably going to watch that next weekend, I think, but I'm looking forward to it. I like the story of Don Quixote, and I love Adam Driver, and pretty much anything Terry Gilliam's done has been kind of like, it's either like great or passable. Like this is okay. This is like funny enough, so I'll go along with it. But yeah, I rewatched The Holy Grail because it's back on Netflix now. And man,
like Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah. And that is such a good movie. It's so dumb, but just that first bit gets me. Like it's just, I don't think it's for everybody. I recognize that Monty Python is not something that everybody can enjoy, but that first scene when they're just like riding over the hill and you hear the horses clomping along and then you find out it's just coconuts. Like that's good in itself.
I'm sure that it was revolutionary when it came out, and I'm sure it still speaks to the people that like it, you know, and I don't not like it, but I feel like when I saw it, it was such a bit that had been played out over time and I'd heard it referenced so much that when I saw it, I didn't really connect. I was just like, yeah, I mean like, okay, cool. It's a guy running around. It was just a very long movie.
Yeah, it is long. And then the ending of it just feels like there's nothing to earn. Like there's really no like payoff in the end at all.
Yeah. I don't think my feeble mind could understand like meta or like it's just like all of that shit that was happening. Yeah.
It makes me think though, when I have kids, I'd like to introduce them to like the canon of my comedy appreciation in sequence. Like what you said kind of ties into that. You know, you maybe don't get all of the Holy Grail because you've heard those jokes redone so many times in other things. But
right.
I think I saw Monty Python early enough that was, you know, I saw it first. I saw it before I saw any other references to it. And that's kind of, it'll be a challenge because there's going to be so much more media between then and when I finally have a kid that's old enough to watch things like that, like Star Wars and Monty Python and Mel Brooks comedies. Like, how am I going to be able to introduce my kids to those things before, you know, they see other movies at their friends and they're like, oh, this isn't very good. This isn't funny because it doesn't have cell phones and fart noises or whatever's popular. And
I mean, like, I don't know what I really loved. I probably like really loved The Waterboy, like Adam Sandler's The Waterboy as far as comedy at that time. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, and then I saw Monty Python. I'm like, what? This isn't The Waterboy.
I mean, theoretically, our kids are going to enjoy whatever comes after Seth Rogen comedy. It's whatever.
Is that still what's dominant?
I don't know. I feel like Seth Rogen era comedy has been popular up to this point. I'm not really sure. Like what? I guess Kevin Hart is maybe the new like easy dumb comedy. Is that?
Yeah, like what Men Want or something like that is kind of making a comeback. Like remember What Women Want with Mel Gibson. They did What Men Want.
Oh, did they?
I mean, yeah. What's like a 2018 comedy? I know we're in 2019 now, so maybe let's see what that is.
Well, there's there's Game Night. Geez, what else came out last year?
I mean, Long Shot. I guess that's Seth Rogen. You know, Isn't It Romantic just came out. Fighting With My Family. No, there's a nice Madea
Blockers
movie coming out this year.
There's a Madea.
Blockers.
There's like 2 Madea movies every year, man.
Yeah, I would call this like the Apatow era, probably, like where just everything is just Judd Apatow and just rich people dealing with shit.
Yeah,
making fun of people's lives that are like, what's a really good comedy? I'm looking forward. Oh man, I know you're looking forward to Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of am. As like,
yeah.
I don't want to because it's. I mean, you kind of know what it is before you see it. It's that. It just has that vibe, but I'll watch anything that has to do with the Beatles.
Yeah, Yesterday is it's a comedy film about a man who has something happen to him, and he wakes up in a world, his world, but in his world where all his friends have, and the rest of the world has never heard of the Beatles, except, and he's the only one that knows who the Beatles are, and he is a musician, an amateur musician, and starts playing the Beatles songs. People think he's a genius, and that's the premise of the film.
I think the premise seems flawed from the trailer. I mean, obviously, it's like a pretty dumb premise to start with, but from the trailer, it looks like all the power goes out in the world or something, which causes him to get hit by a car, but then that, usually when somebody gets hit by the car, they lose their memory, but it in fact somehow helped him retain his memory of the Beatles or something. I think, well, there's going to be a turns out. There's going to be a turns out at the end where it, you know, like he's just been in a coma the whole time or something.
I don't think so. I think it's probably just going to be like some big situation, you know, where it's just like something mystical. Like if you watch the trailer, like the power goes out a lot around the world, it looked like. Or something like, so something, I don't know. We can only hypothesize, but my hopes are not high for any explanation.
No. And I guess it doesn't even really matter. Like it's just like the, what if, like the how doesn't really matter. It's just the, what if nobody remembered the Beatles? Like how does the world today, you know, come to love the Beatles music? Like what is it that makes the Beatles music so great that it could become a phenomenon if it was new in 2019.
You know what this era of comedy might be? It might be like the existing intellectual property era of comedies. Like
the remakes?
Yeah, like Men in Black, Toy Story, Frozen 2, How to Train Your Dragon, another Madea movie. What else? I mean, What Men Want counts as, that's not an original property, because
I don't know though, because I mean that doesn't really
Zombie
square,
because
I feel like there are always been remakes. I mean, thinking about the movies that I grew up on, which were easily a generation old by the time I came around to them, you know, Mel Brooks comedies were all based off of something, whether it be Spaceballs or Men in Tights. Like there was this wave of comedy that was just based off of pre-existing stories. So I don't know, like I like to look at what was original during that time and kind of like compare that. You know, my high school years were Step Brothers, the whole Will Ferrell age.
Yeah, old school. And
yeah, and then before that it was Adam Sandler. You know, it's like, it's not always an SNL spinoff, but those were power players during their time. So like, who is the power player now? And Kevin Hart comes to mind because it seems like he's in a lot of movies right now.
Jumanji 2.
Right.
Now, I haven't seen it
yet. The Rock.
And I know I need to, but is Sorry to Bother You a comedy?
It is, but it's more of a comment than anything else. I mean, it's interesting. It has its funny parts, but it's just bizarro throughout the entire thing.
Well, maybe it's like, maybe it's just our desire to paint things with a really broad brush and to say this at the time. Because I'm sure during the Sandler era, there are good comedies coming out.
Oh, yeah. No, like, there definitely are. You. But it's like, who's the most prevalent? Like, when you think about the 90s comedies, who was in at least five of the top 10?
I guess if we're going by prevalence, but I just mean in terms of like, I guess you weren't really inclined to seek out good comedy.
Yeah. Like, I think we're talking, like,
I
was talking specifically about, like, what kids were watching. When I was a kid, what was I watching? What were you watching? When we have kids, what will they be watching? And
what will they be seeking out in terms of, like, what's cool and not mainstream? Is that what you mean?
No, I don't, because I think I was lucky, and I wish I could trace back exactly who was showing me all of this stuff. But when people were, you know, just showing me movies, I wasn't seeking them out. I wasn't really allowed. I was a pretty sheltered kid. So when I watched stuff, it was usually because my friends were showing it to me or my parents were showing it to me. And I think I was lucky in that, or at least I feel lucky now. Like it would have been fine if I had grown up on something different. But I feel lucky to have grown up on the maybe more dated movies that I still enjoy so much to this day. And it wasn't stuff that I was necessarily seeking out. I would go on to find more Mel Brooks movies later. Like, my parents were not going to show me Blazing Saddles as a child, but finding that later was a result of the things that I was shown earlier on. And so I think, okay, what what are the things that kids are going to like be shown or going to just naturally absorb because of what's prevalent, what's popular in the culture. And for me, like a lot of it as a kid was either the stuff that my parents were showing me from an older time, or maybe stuff my older cousin was showing me, or like whatever. But then there was Adam Sandler. Like, watched a lot of Adam Sandler movies as a kid.
Yeah, there were so many of them.
There were, and some of them are okay. Some hold up. Not
do they? I don't know. Like I, you know what? I was, I think after my weekend, I was going back to work, and I was just in the shower getting ready, and I was like, just singing the Back to School song from Billy Madison.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to school.
Back to school.
I got so mad because it got stuck in my head for like the entire day. And there's, man, that song. I guess, like, I don't know what if it was good or not, you know? Like,
I think if you were to watch
Step Brothers good?
Yeah, Step Brothers is still good. I think May is and it? I have probably watched that like probably two or three times since we moved into this apartment. It still holds up. I don't know how much of that is nostalgia and like remembering every line. But it is pretty funny. And we've rewatched a bunch of Adam Sandler movies too. For some reason, she was in the mood for them. So I just got like a, you know, an Adam Sandler 7-pack or something. And we watched through like 3 or 4 of them, you know, whatever they sell at Walmart. And yeah,
oh my gosh.
there are a couple that hold up. Billy Madison's pretty good. Happy Gilmore. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple that are still funny.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a bad comedian. I mean, I don't think that he's like an unfunny individual. I think his shtick has been a little bit played out. Like he made enough movies doing basically the same characters that it finally just got a little old. And then he made Funny People, which I thought was a great movie. And since then, he's done some more artsy stuff, which is actually not bad. The Cobbler, I think that's on Netflix. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that Western one he did for Netflix is pretty out there.
Not that one.
What is it? The Ridiculous Six? Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that like really problematic? And
oh, yeah, definitely. what did I just watch him in recently? The Meyerowitz Stories? That was fun. I enjoyed film.
Did that get any awards? That was kind of...
I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, that's what I wish he was doing more of. I know that's not where his bread is buttered, but like, I wish he was taking more risks. Like, I mean, did he watch his special?
They're just
not his comedy special.
No,
I think it's worth a watch. Really? Honestly.
Okay. So I think you've watched.
I saw it.
Okay.
I watched his recent special that came out on Netflix a few months ago. I mean, like I've been watching most of the new specials that come out because of the comedy podcast. There's a good one. Because I just want to like stay ahead and like see who guests might be. I mean, like Ray, we had Ray Romano on, and so I wanted to make sure I knew what he was going to be talking about, you know, for his interview.
Oh man, I'm really looking forward to that. What is it, a show or a movie that he's got with one of the Duplass brothers?
It's a movie, but he also has his stand-up special that just came out like last month, the beginning of February. Yeah, I mean, like,
did he bring out the guitar?
Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Oh, big time. It's I would say it's like 70% music and 30% like jokes.
Huh.
Like it's mostly musical jokes. It's like very much what he's always done, but it's also like he's at a point in his career where he doesn't have to be like, where he doesn't care anymore. Like he just, they're very self-indulgent bits, you know, like as much as like all comedy can be self-indulgent to a degree, like his are like just clearly something he just thought was funny and just goes all out with it, like orchestrating like this huge song. I don't want to spoil anything about it, you know, because like, some of the songs are like very, you know, it'll hit you the right way if you don't know what the song is about. But yeah, I mean, he has somebody on stage with him accompanying him for every song that he does. You know, he has like somebody playing piano behind him for most of it. And he also shot it in like, I want to say like 6 or 7 different venues. He shot the special in and like kind of collaged the whole thing.
Oh.
And yeah. And like he cuts in and out. Every song is cut in and out from each venue. Like, so like you'll see him in front of a small club crowd, like at like an open mic type thing. And then suddenly he's at like Madison Square Garden or something like that, you know, and in front of a giant stadium size audience. And it's really well directed, really well.
Who did that one? Bobcat?
I have no idea. I have no clue. I probably should know these things, but I don't. But it was just like, I think it just, it knew exactly what it was trying to be, which is like, nobody's going to want to watch this. Like, he has this weird bit, and this won't spoil anything, I don't think, but he has this weird bit that comes in and out throughout every one of his, like, every so often throughout the special. He just refers to himself as the Sandman, and like, I don't know if that's a nickname he had for himself a long time ago, or like, but I mean, I haven't heard him called the Sandman. I thought it was kind of like ironic or something like that. But he's like sarcastically referring to it. Like, oh man, the Sandman, you can't believe you're doing that again. And like, that comes out like a couple, like two or three times throughout the whole special. And it's just very clear that he knows that people think he's washed up, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he's washed up, but like, I think people think he thinks that people think they have a good idea of who he is. So he like plays that up, while at the same time he comes up with some really funny bits. Like, it's just good.
No, I do think he's good. I think it's just that his time as the lead comedic actor has sort of fallen away, because he kind of, I don't know if they're crutches or what, but you know, he has his general style, and a lot of his older movies, which were really popular for a very long time, they all kind of followed that same formula. And after a while, they kind of fell out. And that isn't to say that he can't be funny and like be a lead in movies and not be funny not doing those things, because I think Funny People, again, is a really good example of that. I think it's a really funny and touching movie that he's a lead in, and I think it works.
I don't remember liking that movie. I remember liking aspects of that movie, but not ultimately just not liking him, like his character. Well, just being like, I don't care about this guy by the end of it.
Huh. I remember the movie making me feel very uncomfortable the whole time. Like, I just felt like unsettled because there were so many arguments, and it was it felt very heavy and real stuff. And
I didn't like that.
I think it might be my favorite Apatow movie, actually. It's definitely up there.
Yeah, I guess it being an Apatow is nice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, so what else have you been up to? It's been like 2 weeks since we talked, because we recorded those two episodes in series 2 weeks ago, and it's been weird. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever.
It did feel weird getting back on the mic, like knowing that like tonight we would be hopping on again to record. I was like, damn, last thing we talked about was sandwiches. Like, how are we gonna top that?
Which is a good episode.
Truthfully, I don't think I can top that.
I thought that was fun. I was surprised at how long we went. I didn't think we'd get a full hour out of sandwiches, but we sure did.
We could talk for an hour about anything, man. Anything. Even if we were so tired. You could just name any subject. Like Russian history. we could talk an hour about how we don't know about Russian. Right, okay. But then we could just start talking about it and like and just not get anywhere. It'd be great. I have an update.
Let's hear it.
Do you remember that D&D character I talked about a while back?
That was Keldar.
Martin of Nazareth. Yeah, the one that got killed by the mosquito, the witch that rode the mosquito up to the thing. I heard that he may be making a return to the campaign.
Wow.
And not as an NPC, I think, but his motives, like they're starting to question his background. Like, maybe he's not everything they thought that he was. That's all I know.
Interesting.
That's all I know.
Plot twist. Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That could be fun for you to jump back into at some point if you're home.
It could. Yeah. I went back home 2 weekends ago at this point. I went back home. And it was good to be there. And I missed Boston very much at this point. I just like crashed it. My friend Ben owns a house up there now. He got married. I was not a bridesmaid.
You're a grooms person.
I was not a bridesmaid, but I was a groomsman at his wedding. And then he bought a house, and now he's living in Boston. It was like very good to be back. It felt nice to just be able to see people. Like his brother, my friend Nick, was just like in the neighborhood and just stopped by his house and was like, hey, I came by to see Mike. I heard he was in town. I'm like, cool, awesome. Like people are just like stopping by each other's houses. Yeah. And like getting together and being like, oh, do you want to go for dinner? Oh, do you want to go for drinks? And it's like a weeknight or, you know, or just like having a weekend with friends.
Yeah.
I think it's also something that was weird too. It was the first time in a really, really long time that I ever had a Saturday and Sunday off. And anybody who's listening who works retail or service or whatever, you know, like just knows that weekends are hard to come by sometimes. And when you do get one and you see how the rest of the world lives and like you get to spend 2 days in a row, like going out on a Friday, going out on a Saturday, like having a brunch on Sunday. I didn't have a brunch on a Sunday, I don't think. I had like lunch, but it was just like, what I mean is just like being able to enjoy a weekend with the people who also enjoy weekends that you care about.
Oh, it's so nice.
It is. And it's just something I really miss. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it would take to get that consistently. And I don't know how long it would take until I stopped liking it again. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is it that you think is holding you back? Is it primarily the schedule or your location? Like, is that something you can't do in the city?
No, it's something you can do in the city. If you have like, I mean, I would say most people who here work went Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. I think when you're working retail and customer service and restaurants and things like that, you don't really have that luxury of like of the weekend. You have like this alternative luxury, you know, which some people would not consider a luxury, but some people prefer, which is you staying at like having a Tuesday, Wednesday off, or having like a Tuesday, Thursday off. It's like, it's really, really great, you know, to have a weekday off when be able to do errands that nobody else can do, you know? So I don't know. I just flip flop between those two worlds in my head about which one could be better.
Well, that's tough. Yeah. I get that. Like it does feel nice to eventually, like every once in a while, get one of those weekends where there is absolutely nothing going on and you've taken care of everything and the world is your oyster and you can travel or go see friends and family or whatever opportunities you may not generally have the chance to take up. So, I mean, it was, you know, last week I had a birthday and it was kind of hard to do anything, which is sad because I was trying to do everything that I could to, you know, clear some time for friends and family, not necessarily to have like some blowout party or anything, but just to get together, you know, just to see some people that, you know, you can't normally see, but you can usually make an excuse for when you have a birthday. It's a good excuse to get people together.
Yeah, I think that's probably the purpose of any birthday at this point. Cause like, God knows I do not want to celebrate my birthday. I don't want people to come around and congratulate me, but I do want all my friends to have a reason to see each other. So yeah. Like, I will gladly use my birthday. You don't have to buy me drinks. You don't have to come out and like, you know, you know, tell, like sing to me or whatever. Like, that's not necessary. I just want like, oh yeah, we need an excuse. Like, that's why I don't know if you ever experienced this, but like, you ever see home movies of like your birthday as a 1 year old or whatever?
Yeah.
Or like a, like just like a stupid like a christening party, you know, I happen to be christened, you know, like, or like a first communion party. You're like, what is that, you know? Like, it's just like the it's like these little events in your life, you know, that don't really like that the kids don't really aren't gonna remember. You're like, I don't remember my first birthday, but it was just an excuse for all my dad and his friends and my mom's friends and relatives to just come over and get just wasted.
Exactly. Any excuse for an Italian get together, right? So just bring everybody over.
Right.
Bring a dish and some wine.
Yeah. I guess that's just what it becomes. And like, that was probably not to really go off on a tangent too far from what we're talking about now, but like the other part of going home, was I got to see my first close friend from high school, who's still in our circle of friends, who is very much in our circle of friends also still, but I haven't seen them in a while since her wedding. It was her kid. I met her kid for the first time.
Oh, was that weird? How old's the kid?
7 months.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
So like, it's not like able to process who I am and look at me, but it is adorable. Yeah. It's probably, it's a perfectly beautiful baby.
It is. I saw the photo. It's really cute.
It was just waving, and like it waves at you if you wave at it, and like maybe it can't see more than like 3 feet in front of it, but like it's a she, her. I'll say her, you know, I won't have to call it it.
You say it because it's like it's so hard to associate them with human beings.
Well, also I don't want to gender the baby. Well, you know, sure, like sure, we're gonna let the baby decide for itself when it gets older, or whatever the parents choose, you know, like. But yeah, the baby was really interesting. And like when the baby's mother was like, do you want to hold her? And I was like, I can't believe you're trusting me with your child right now. Not like I've never dropped a baby before, but like, I don't know. Like I'm not like Uncle Mike, you know, yet, you know, I would have to be around a lot more to be Uncle Mike, but like, it was just really like, I was like, oh my God, I'm holding the baby. I'm holding this piece of you. You know, like yeah, we met when we were 13 years old and, you know, we hung out, you know, like every weekend or, you know, like for like summers and summers and summers. And then now you have a kid and it's just a weird, weird thing to process that like, I also just think it's really like, it's very motivational to see your friends doing well.
Yeah.
I think there's like, there's one side of you that could be like, oh man, I'm like jealous of that or something, but I'm just like so inspired by it, by like seeing people like buying houses, like when Ben buys a house or when he like gets a full-time job and gives up the band thing. Like I'm not sad for him. I am not jealous of him. I'm just so happy for him and inspired by him. And my friend who has a kid, I don't know if I should say her name yet, but like I haven't talked to her about the podcast, so who knows? But yeah, I don't know. It's just a really inspiring thing to see people that you love doing really well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've had a lot of friends have babies this year. It's central in my neck.
Is that like, do you think that's because of it's like an Ohio thing? Like, is that just what you do in Ohio?
Like what?
You like have kids young? Then have like kids. How old are these people that are having kids? Are they in their 30s? Because you're young. Yeah. You're in your early to mid 20s. How old did you turn? 25?
26.
26. You are now old enough to rent a car without incurring a penalty. Yeah. Oh, wait. Or is that 25?
I don't know. Maybe you might have said that to me last year.
Oh, but what about your health insurance?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. We don't have to talk about it.
It's, I mean, legally it's fine because there's no mandate anymore.
Well, yeah. And, but you're also a student, right?
That's right.
Is that, oh no, it's just 26 is 26 then.
26 was the cutoff. And I am not currently insured. However, there is no mandate, so I'm not overly worried about any, like legal repercussions or anything.
Well, there is a mandate, isn't there?
No,
but
no,
there's no, there's no penalty. I think you should look that up.
Yeah, I'll spend some more time on it. Anyway, to answer your question, my friends who are now parents, they got married. Both, I'm talking specifically about two sets, and Tyler and Tara and Sam and Leah, they both got married and then like either, you know, a few months or a couple years, like 2 years, I think at max, they've had children. And I have yet to meet Sam and Leah's because theirs was born January. And I forget this. Like I was asking, I was like, are you guys going to come down to our area anytime soon? Cause it's hard for us to travel and they have like a bunch of family down here that I'm sure they want to visit with the baby. But I keep forgetting that like babies have no immune systems. And so like they can't really go anywhere until they've had their, you know, inoculations or, you know, their shots, their like 2 month shots or something. So it's going to be a little bit of time before we get to meet them. But, Tyler and Tara's baby, she is absolutely adorable. And it's been a lot of fun being able to spend time with them and her, and you know, just through the whole process, like we were able to cook them a bunch of dinners when they were first back at home with the baby, because Tyler works a really rough, you know, schedule, and it's hard for her to cook a meal by herself. So being able to help them out with that, and then just like watching them thrive, like now that they're able to like go around places with the baby, and the baby's growing very, very quickly. It is. Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. Like it's inspiring to watch, because Tyler, when I met Tyler, I would have thought maybe not that he was like the last person that I would know to get married and have a child, but It certainly didn't come to my mind when I met him, and for almost as long as I've known him. But now that I like see him as a dad, it just fits. Like, he is 100% the best dad I know. And
that's the scariest transition, and like the weird and the weirdest transition too for me is seeing those people be one that have been one thing your whole life have to assume this other role. And that's the person that I visited, you know, like the fact that I got this weekend off, I was like, part of it was like, oh, I should go up to see this kid and visit them. And like, I almost feel like I'm paying my respects. Like I'm Ned Stark or like going to see the royal baby or whatever, you know, like, I don't know. Is that a thing Ned Stark did? Probably not.
Well, you have to see the baby.
Yeah. You have to go pay tribute to the kid, you know, that's being born to this family. And, but I did that not out of obligation, but out of just desire. And as soon as I walk in the door, I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is not the person I knew. They're a mother now. but she was very much the person I knew. Yeah. She was the same exact thing.
Plus child.
Yeah, it's like you have like people you don't see every day or every weekend or every few months. I don't think I've seen or hung out with Kelly probably since her wedding night. And like, you know, like when we were all at the hotel and like drinking and everything. Like, like you get this one vivid picture of them, of their Instagrams, of their Facebooks, the things they're talking about on Facebook, and if they have a Twitter, you know, and you make this picture of them like, oh, they're a mother now, like they are this person. And she just wasn't that. She was just the same person she's always been. Like, I was worried that she'd become uptight and that she didn't want us to swear on the baby. And she's just cussing around the baby, you know, like, because the baby doesn't understand.
Know any different.
Right. Exactly.
Got some time on that clock.
Yeah, still. But it's like, wow, it's okay. So we're all the same. Like, we're all just still, an element of it felt like we were still 14-year-olds hanging out in our parents' living room or whatever, you know, getting ready to watch an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. I mean, so much of it can still feel very much the same, but there are slight changes like to their schedules. For instance, it's going to be more convenient for you to go to them, and they're not going to be able to stay up too late because the baby's got to go to bed.
That's the biggest thing is that I noticed is that like when Ben is going to go visit her again, they're planning these play dates or not play dates because no more than one kid's involved, but like this visits like a month in advance.
It's
like when I hit up Ben, I was like, oh, could we go visit her up in where she lives? And he was like, oh, we're supposed to see her in March, like early March, but let me text her right now and see if she will. And we show up and, you know, they wake the baby up from the nap. And then like, sure enough, an hour and a half later, maybe 2 hours later, it's like, oh, it's nap time again. And we're just like, okay, it's nap time.
It's
all right,
a completely
we gotta go.
Different schedule. It's just so, so weird.
It's cool that like, it's cool to see people living for something else other than themselves, which is a weird thing to say, but I do think that myself included right now, like a lot of people are living for themselves. And like as teenagers, we live for ourselves. Cause that's all we were told to live for. Like I didn't have to care for my brother. I didn't have to care for my parents or grandparents or anything like that. I was just told to do well in school and like figure out what college I wanted to go to. And we were all kind of doing that and like have a crush on girls. And like, we were just thinking of ourselves when we were doing that in a lot of ways. And now it's just like, now their lives are obligated to this baby.
Yeah.
And it's just such a, I don't know. I'm getting very like, I don't know what the word is. What is the word when you're just like contemplating these like weird life things?
Sentimental.
Yeah, that's it. Sentimental. That should not be a word I have to reach for, but it's there. But yeah, I'm getting very sentimental and thinking about how like they, like their life is just totally like, oh, like I don't, like I'm living for my kid now. Like everything I'm doing is going to be for this kid and, you know, for my partner and my husband or wife in their case. But like her husband, he's in med school and he's thinking about like getting placed in certain places. Like he has to apply for residencies, I guess is the thing where you do. But you have to make a huge list and it's so competitive that you could end up working in a different, like halfway across the country, you know, in the middle of nowhere, but that's the only place you can get a residency. So you have to take it if you want to do what you want to do in your life. And like, they're just kind of like, yeah, we're going to go. Like if we get that way and we have to do it, we're going to go. It's not what we want, but like, we'll do it. And it's just like, this cooperation and this living for, you know, a unit as opposed to living for the self, which I think single people tend to do sometimes. if they're not obligated to other things.
Does this kind of like change how you look at the possibility of, you know, marriage, children, houses, all the, these responsibilities you're seeing your friends with? Does it?
It's certainly like, I don't know how to, it certainly blurs the line between what I thought, you know, because I mean, like, that's when I moved in with Erin, we made the decision to move in together very shortly after visiting Ben and Ashley. Who had just gotten married, you know, like watching them live together and everything like that, and like going to visit them in their apartment in Syracuse when they were living there. It was just like, oh, well, like, this is something that I want for myself as well. And I think that's what Ben arrived at, because when we were young, you know, Ben was very much like, he was just like, I don't get it, what's the point in all this? And then him and I both totally did a 180. He just like suddenly realized, like, oh, well, this is something I would like to be involved in, is this marriage thing, and is having kids eventually, and, you know, like having a family. It just became something that spoke to him, I feel like. And so seeing your friend start to go through it too, maybe it's like the, you know, my friend got it and I want it kind of thing.
Or your friend did it, so you know you can do it too.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Is that like, maybe I don't have to be afraid of this thing that I thought I was afraid of, which I think is probably more the driving factor here.
Yeah.
But what do you think the driving factor is, though?
I don't know. I think it could be a mix of both. Like, you know, you didn't know that you wanted it until you saw that somebody else had it. I think that's like a very natural thing, because you're not really, you know, you see relationships on TV working with people living together in sitcoms and dramas and, you know, whatever, but to actually see people that you know doing it, you can see the advantages and you can say, oh wow, like that, like I see how this could make sense for me as well. And also, like, it was sort of a scary idea, but it's less scary now that I know that my friend, who's a lot like me, it also has, you know, this relationship with this person, and they're able to make it work. Like, I don't think it's going to be, I think moving in together is a very, it's a scary concept, because you're like, you only do that once, you know, it's one of those things. You can only move in with your significant other one time in most cases. If you move in together and it doesn't work out and you break up, like, or you don't break up, like, you just, there's no do-over. So
yeah,
it's that, yeah, that fear is like totally rational, because you want it to work. You don't want to like move something along too fast before you know that you're ready for it. But on the other hand, like, you could wait forever. Nobody's ever going to tell you you're ready. Or if they do, like, you're never going to believe them. You just kind of have to take that leap and do it.
Well, that's the other thing, is like watching, feeling like you're getting left in the dust too. And like keeping up with them, like I had another, like, my friend Joe just proposed to his girlfriend. So they're on the track. I don't know if they set a date, but they're on the track. And like Ben and Ashley, I think they want kids in the coming years. I don't really know. So this, the slow realization that, like, oh, like it's getting whittled down. I'm going to be surrounded by children at some point soon. And if we all want to line up our kids or something like that, like, so they can all be friends or whatever, or mortal enemies, whatever they choose. And how bad would that suck? If like, you're like, oh yeah, buddy, let's have kids. We have kids within like 6 months of each other. Like, they're going to be best friends. And then, man, they just end up hating each other.
Yeah. That's a funny thought. My buddy Brandon, I don't like to use him like as an example of anything. Okay. I do like to use him as an example, but I don't want anybody to think that I'm using him as like a bad example of anything. Because Brandon is easily like the nicest person I know. And he's always like the first person that I call when I need some help with anything around here. Like, he's just that kind of guy. He'll like drop anything. He's always down. He's a great guy. And I've always thought he'd be like the best catch of a guy. I don't know if like that's a thing that dudes say about their dude friends, but you know, as like his wingman of a long time, I've always wanted to set him up with somebody. And he has been in this group of friends since high school that is very tight-knit, like so tight-knit that they all married each other, and he was just kind of like the last one at the dance without a partner. You know what I mean? So he's just like this, you know, eighth or ninth wheel for a long time, as all of his friends are sort of, you know, coupling up and or meeting other people that are somewhat on the fringe of their friend group, and they all get married and they start having kids, and it, like, Brandon just still didn't have a partner, which I think, I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for him, but I think, like, put him in a weird position. And I did notice that, like, over that period of time, like, he was hanging out with people that were more in my friend group. You know, there's a lot of overlap, but the younger people of our group, because everybody else was just busy, you know, it wasn't like a, oh, they're married, so I don't want to hang out with them, or we're married, so we don't want to hang out with them. It's just, we have a baby and that takes up a lot of our time and we're not going to be able to play indoor football anymore. So,
right.
So Brandon's hanging out with me and my friend Chris and Corey and stuff a lot, and some of his other friends from work and church and baseball leagues and stuff. And so finally, he ends up meeting May's best friend, Melissa. And they had already met, but then they finally, like, kind of re-met when we all went, I think we were inner tubing or something. And then shortly after that, Melissa's a photographer. She does weddings and stuff. And she needed just, like, an extra person with a camera to shoot some extra pictures. And she asked May if she knew anybody. And she's like, Brandon has a camera. And so Brandon volunteered to do it. He thought he was just going to get paid a little bit, and they ended up hitting it off. And they started going out on dates without us knowing. So I guess, where was I going with this? Oh yeah, friends.
Friends left out.
No. Like the kids being friends. So I just want to leave it off. At least leave the part about Brandon off, where he is now engaged and he's now passed. Like, they're, as you say, on the track and they're passing us now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's, May and I have been together a lot longer.
Think about it like that,
but
though.
It's not a competition at all, but I know what you're saying. Like, it does feel like people are, like, moving on when you're still, like, trying to figure your own stuff out. But everybody's lives are different. But what you're saying,
it's like,
was,
it feels like an RPG, you know?
Yeah.
You haven't leveled up yet, but, like, yeah. Why is leveling up these things? It's like, maybe it's not leveling up, but it's, like, choosing this route in the RPG or something.
Sure, yeah. But I guess the reason I bring Brandon up is because of that friend group that he has. So, you know, while Brandon's being kind of, like, left out from all of the, like, the kid-raising stuff, all of his friends are getting married and they all have kids at the same time. And they've all now had several kids. Like, each couple has had several kids and they all have kids in the same year. So they all have kids that are the same age. It's crazy. So all of these kids are naturally going to be best friends with all of these other kids, or at least forced to be best friends with all these other kids, because all of their parents have been best friends for 20 years. So like, it is a weird idea for all of those kids to grow up and then hate each other. But I have a little frame of reference on this, because I grew up with a couple of families, but one of which was, like, super close with my dad. My dad and their dad went to elementary school together, went to high school together. They've always, like, moved basically to the same towns, whether that was by design or just by chance. Like, they were always very close. And as a result, we spent a lot of time with that family and a lot of time with those kids. Like, every day, if they weren't coming over to our house to be babysat by my mom, we were going over to their house to be babysat by their mom. So we basically, like, grew up with these kids, and, you know, I don't, like, have anything against them now, because we're all adults and I'm sure they're all different. But as a kid, like, they annoyed the hell out of me, and they were just rude. And, like,
you don't see these people anymore, do you?
No, I don't. Not that my dad hasn't tried. Like, he's like, oh, you should call them. I'm like, I haven't seen them since seventh grade. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. You have your own life.
Yeah. We're both good. Believe us. But, you know, it was like, it was a thing where as a kid, I didn't have a choice. And so he was just my friend. He was just my best friend, but I didn't have a choice in that matter. He wasn't like a friend that I chose. I just spent a lot of time with him. So I, you know, had no choice. And we had similar interests. It's just, I don't think our personalities always meshed really well. So yeah, being forced into friendships with people is weird. And it'll be interesting to watch as our friends' kids grow up and interact with each other and see how that plays out.
Yeah. It's like a lot to think about.
It is. And so now I'm like, oh man, who's going to have a kid the same year I am? Like, that's an even weirder thing to think about. It's kind of nice though, because all of my friends are having their babies now, so they'll be a little bit older, and then they'll at least, my kid will have cool kids to look up to, right?
Yeah. I think the thing I miss most is having those friends around within, like, arm's reach, I guess. you know, like I mentioned early on in this, is the idea of like just like friends showing up at each other's houses or whatever, you know, on the way on the weekend or something like that. And like Aaron and I have each other here, and that's great, and I love that. But I don't really see many friends besides her, and that's okay because just us. But like, I don't know. I don't have a lot of close friends here in New York City.
Did you at any given time, or like, is it
just
harder?
I mean, I lived with my best friend for a while. Like Sam was like my closest friend, and we'd see each other every day, you know, when he would come home from work or when I would come home from work, it would just kind of be like a given that we'd be hanging out. And then, you know, we had to go our separate ways for whatever work reasons or living reasons that came up. And, then yeah, now I just don't really have a lot of friends. Like I don't have anybody like, hey, you know, I want to do something. I have like one friend I go drink with sometimes, but that's sometimes not a healthy relationship. Like just to base your, you know, friendship around going to get beer or something.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how regular it is.
If you do nothing else,
is it Cheers or just getting together every couple of weeks at the brewery?
Yes. The latter.
Then you're fine.
Yeah. Was Cheers bad though? Would Cheers
no,
be bad?
No, but that's an, I mean, going to the bar every day after work and
they're
having
all
bar
alcoholics,
friends.
Aren't they, in that show?
Yes.
Is that like the crack.com, like the dark truth about Cheers, that they're all alcoholics? I guarantee you there's a crack.com article about Cheers.
Yeah. I'm
Googling this right now. crack.com Cheers.
I think the brewery meetups are even healthier than, you know, some people get together a lot more frequently and at home and they bring six packs and they just go hard, you know? Like that's like their their ritual. I feel like there are, I don't know, the case in the city, but at least around here, if you're going to go to the bar, you kind of put a limit on yourself because you have to get yourself.
Yeah, because the driving thing here, the person I go to drink with, he bikes 20 miles to come to the brewery with me and then bikes home drunk after traveling. Like,
oh, that's awesome, though. You ever ridden a bike drunk?
Not in New York City.
No, oh, yeah. I wouldn't do it in the city either. But.
That's a full DUI right there.
Is it?
I believe you can get a ticket for that. Not safe. It's a vehicle. You're operating a vehicle and you have no seatbelt. It's not a good move. Yep, here it is. Cheers. On crack.com. Diane from Cheers is drawn to the exact spot where her life fell apart.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, man. Crack.com just blows your mind constantly.
They used to be so good.
I like the after hours sketches. Those were pretty good. But it's the same principle as like just finding awful things about the things that you used to love. Like why Back to the Future is secretly horrifying or whatever. Which superhero is the worst powers or... Oh man, they're all bad. Oh, can I tell you a story?
Of course.
I mean, you know the story, but I feel like somebody listening to this would actually be really intrigued by it. So I guess it ties into a Reply All episode from a while ago, but probably a week and a half, 2 weeks ago at this point, Aaron ordered dog food from Amazon.com, and we got the dog food, but we also got a similar size package also addressed to her. We opened the dog food and it was dog food. Surprise. We opened the second box that was roughly the same size and inside it was a 22 inch computer monitor.
Uh huh.
And you know, I look at Aaron, I'm like, Aaron, is this a gift? And she's like, no, I have no idea where this came from. Cause I've been wanting an external monitor for probably up to like close to a year now, but trying to find like, I didn't want to invest in like a high res one, like a 4K one. Cause, it's just a lot of money for those. And I really just need it for editing, like for another display. I don't need to be doing like crazy graphics or anything. I just need a bigger space to use my audio stuff. But she swears up and down. She's like, this is not a ploy to give you a gift or like to get you something and have you not be able to tell me to return it. Cause like I'm horrible at getting gifts. I don't know if you're the same way, but
I am
awful at getting gifts. Maybe we can talk about your birthday fiasco after this, but yeah. So, so she swears up and down. It's not a ploy to give me a gift and that I can't refuse. and she looks at her Amazon account. There is no monitor purchased from there at all. And I start remembering that Reply All episode where basically manufacturers of pretty cheap goods will just randomly send their goods to people's homes as under a different user account, not the person who's receiving it, and just so that the person who's sending it can write a bogus review for the thing. Basically, they decided that their stock is cheap enough to manufacture and send to people that they can just waste a little bit of stock sending it in order to get better reviews to push them up in the algorithm on Amazon. So I assumed it was that. Inside of the package was a gift for you slip with a little QR code saying, like, send a thank you note. And Erin's like, okay. So she calls up Amazon first and gets on the phone with somebody from customer service. And the person is just like, the way she described it, I have to take it for, you know, I have to take her word for it, but like, she's talking to the person. The person's just kind of like getting giddy and giggly and being like, I don't know. Like, is she sure it's not in your account? And Erin's like, no, this is not something I ordered onto my account. I've never even looked for something like this before. And the guy apparently was like giggling at Amazon.
Why?
Like,
that's really
maybe
cagey.
Maybe you have a secret admirer. And then he just hung up the phone.
What?
Like, he just hung up on Erin. Like, he had nothing to say. Basically, Erin was like, can I keep this? Or, like, she didn't need it. Actually, she's like, can I return it? They're like, nope, you can't return it because it's yours now and you have no, like,
what?
You can't return a gift like that or something to that effect. Like, they wouldn't let us return it because
this was, did she call support or call a number on the slip?
She called Amazon support.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And they hung up the phone. Like, this ended the conversation abruptly and that was it, after laughing and saying, maybe you have a secret admirer or something.
That's so creepy.
Erin like walks into the room. She's like, I don't understand what just happened. So we go, I'm like, I had her basically just scan the QR code and send a thank you email to the person. And it comes up as this name, this person. And it's the same name. If we went to the box, which is roughly the same size as the dog food box. And if you peel off the label addressed to Erin, underneath it is a person's name. And that person is from New Jersey. I'm in New York. And they're basically the name that came up when Erin scanned the thank you card was the same name on the label underneath Erin's. So essentially what I think happened and what Erin hypothesizes is that the box, something happened. I don't know how Amazon's warehouses work or who's picking or if robots are doing it or if there's a mess up on the conveyor belt, if there is a conveyor belt. But what we think happened is that two boxes got like slapped with the same thing because they both had the same tracking number. Both packages had the same tracking number. And one label, the monitor label, was on top of another shipping label. So we think that they just mislabeled this package and it got sent to us. Because the tracking number had only one, I think it only had one item. It only had the dog food on there. So I think it's just a mislabeling, and okay. We just went
there
with
hasn't
it.
Been anything since?
No, nobody's reached out to us. Amazon said we have to keep it for some security reason, I guess. I don't really know what. I mean, they said that we can't send it back, I guess.
Did you, I mean, I don't know if you'd have thought of this, but did you open up the casing for this electronic device just to be sure there wasn't, like,
see if it's
drugs,
like,
or?
I mean, it turns on and I'm using it.
Okay, but like there could be like cocaine hidden in the back of this thing.
And that is my problem. And what?
Well, I don't know. If
someone's like, check, go to this address and
exactly.
Look for cocaine in the monitor. I mean, I don't know. It was factory sealed, but I mean, I've obviously know that the illusion of factory sealing, having worked in retail and customer service for long enough, I know that factory sealing is not a thing that can't, it's totally fakeable.
Yeah.
I mean, it turns on.
Yeah.
I guess you could crack the case and hide a bag of cocaine inside of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's empty space in there.
It's like an $80 monitor, too. It's like a piece of garbage.
Are you using
there's
it?
There's really not a lot of space. This thing, no, Jacob, this thing is very thin. There's like space at the bottom of it, I guess.
Yeah. But are you using the device?
I actually am, yeah.
Does it work?
Yeah, it works.
Great.
It's nice. It works. It's actually very helpful. I reorganized my desk. Aaron helped me get through that process, because as you might experience, any change to your work environment stresses you out immediately for some reason. Happens to me, happens to Aaron. Just like when somebody comes in and invades your space, you're like, I have to change this.
This definitely wasn't right. Something she accidentally had on like a wish list.
No, it didn't show up on the order at all. Unless she is lying to my face, which she swore up and down she's not, and she has no, there's no reason. Unless she really wanted to give me this monitor so bad that she would lie to me to give it to me, which is not something she would do. That's the only reason that she would have had this. But no, it was not on the order. It wasn't anywhere. And again, the tracking number was the same on each box.
Well, I mean,
I think it was full on just a mislabeling at the factory, and we reap the benefits. And possibly a bag of cocaine stashed in this thing somewhere.
Save it for a rainy day, my friend.
I hope not.
Well, you know, when the world goes to hell and the electrical grid shuts down, that monitor is useless anyway. I say you crack it open and enjoy.
Yeah, let's see what I find.
Well, on a similar note, as I noted,
yeah, let's
last
hear about
week,
your,
I had
your
a birthday.
Unexpected birthday gift.
I got an unexpected birthday gift. you know, let's backtrack. I want to know,
yeah.
I want to like lead up to the birthday, because the birthday week wasn't fantastic.
No, it's been terrible. It seems like,
yeah, it's been pretty bad. So I got home from my Palm Springs trip. As soon as I got home, you know, I basically had like, I had a ton of homework and stuff to catch up on. I had exams that week that I needed to, you know, study for and do over the course of the first couple days. I was just very busy, like as soon as I got home. But Monday, I think I got home on Saturday, but by Monday there was a gigantic windstorm. I mean, we had winds up to 60 miles an hour here in Ohio, and it was destroying trees. It was just a mess. And somehow in the process, like, we never lost power, which I thought was amazing, because we lose power during even the most mundane of winter of summer storms. Usually a tree or a limb falls down on a line and our whole block is out of luck for at least a couple hours. But we didn't lose power, but we, at least not block wide, we lost half of our power in the house.
That's so much power gone.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's only, you know, certain rooms and only certain parts of the rooms. And most inconveniently, the breaker box, which is the first thing that you check when something like that happens, is in the basement of our downstairs neighbors, which means that we can't even get to our own breaker box unless they let us in. And we
don't really know them that well.
And we don't know them because they just moved in. I don't even have their phone number. So we kind of just
go down and knock.
We could, but it was like really late at night when it first happened. It just wasn't worth dealing with that evening. So what we ended up doing, I think, and the timeline of this is all very confusing because it was pretty much a whole week ordeal. But the next day, I think May happened to notice our neighbor coming home. She ran out and talked to her in the driveway. I ended up getting her phone number after she let me in to go look at her breaker box. The first time, all the breakers were fine. None of them were tripped. It was all good. Our landlord also should take care of this, right? But I called my landlord and he was in Chattanooga, Tennessee on his way to Florida, where they still are. So I was pretty much on my own. He was going to help out to try to find an electrician and send them up, which he did by calling a friend who called in a favor with another friend who was an electrician part-time. So to truncate this very long and boring story, the electrician came over. They tested a couple things. They said, okay, pretty sure it's not anything in the house. You should call your electric provider and have them come check the meter, which I did. It took them hours. They came out like in the late evening to look at it. They said everything's fine on the meter. It's something inside. Had to call back the electrician, who couldn't come for another 2 days. He came out. He found out what the problem was, had me call the electric company again so they can have them come over and shut off the meter so he could do the replacement. He then took the phone from me while I was when I was talking to the customer service representative, put down his contact information so that they could just talk directly whenever there was an update, which is fine with me because I'd been playing middleman between an electrician, my landlord, my neighbor, and my girlfriend, who wants to be informed on everything that's going on as well. So I'm like, fine, go ahead and do that. So he gives them his number, his information, gets off the phone, and then basically hands my phone back to me and says, you know, I only do this part-time, and I really don't think my schedule is going to be flexible enough to do this job. And I'm like, then why did you just give them your contact information and put in an order to shut down my power? So he basically quit while standing in the basement looking at the breakers. So
like, yeah, I can't do this. Sorry, man.
Yeah. So he called my landlord, told him he couldn't do it. My landlord had to find another guy who does it full time. That guy was great because he came in, and this is on Friday, I think, either Friday or Saturday. And mind you, this mm-hmm. the entire time this is going on, we have two working outlets on our entire first floor. One is in the bathroom above the sink, and one is on the most inconvenient wall of our bedroom. So we're running our router and pretty much anything that we need off of these two outlets. And also, we're not able to cook anything because our kitchen is completely dead. I guess the refrigerator outlet still worked, thank God. But we couldn't cook anything, so we were either eating peanut butter sandwiches or eating out all week, which is expensive. Mm-hmm. But eventually, we had an electrician come out. This guy is a pro, so he actually has the personal phone numbers of all the local electric company guys who work like trouble and emergency calls and stuff. He just called one of them directly, put in an order to have it shut down. They came out within 30 minutes. You swapped out the breaker, had it all done, and we were good to go. Like it was like a 3-hour affair on my birthday. So it was Thursday. We got our power back on Thursday, which was great. It was super nice. I was super glad for those guys, but it was just like a hell of a problem to have to deal with all week, and like having to do the schoolwork and catch up on work because, you know, I was out of internet for a couple days until we figured out that we could just like chain up a bunch of extension cords and, power boxes and
rat's
stuff.
Nest.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty, but yeah, long story short, I had some electrical problems all week, which was a huge pain, which led up to my birthday. And through all that, like, I kept having to turn down family who wanted to take us out for dinner and all these other things. I just had to say, like, can we do this next week? Like, we've got a lot on our plate right now. We just can't deal with it. So my birthday comes around. I'm actually like really busy throughout most of my birthday working. Like, there's a bunch that I still have to get caught up on before the weekend. My cousin's birthday is the same week as mine, and we already committed to going out for his birthday in Cleveland, which was going to be, you know, pretty much all of Saturday night. So I was just kind of stressed out. I wasn't having like a super great birthday. I wasn't even really like thinking about it as my birthday. I just had too much to do. But May always likes to celebrate my birthday, which isn't really fair because she doesn't let me celebrate hers. But that's a conversation that we had between the two of us after her big gift for the year, which came at the end of the evening after we went out for sushi and came home, and there was carrot cake and ice cream and all that. And then she gave me a gift, which was nice. But when I opened it, I found that it was a new Apple computer. Also nice.
Mm.
Also, I don't know. Like, super nice. I've been needing one. I've been wanting one. We've talked about it on the show, I think, a couple times. Like, Mike, tell me what computer to buy, right?
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of speechless holding this new computer, and I just kept shaking my head. And I'm like, no. No.
I knew it. I knew that would happen, because you're like me. You and I are the same.
Yeah, it's expensive. And she said before, she's like, if I could buy one for you, I would. And I'm like, that's very nice, but, you know, there's obviously a reason why you can't, and you shouldn't, because they're very expensive. And
right,
I don't know.
We just can't accept gifts. We're terrible at accepting gifts.
Yeah, like, no, I would. I can accept it. I can. Yeah, you're right. But I can accept most gifts if I know that, like, if it's like a new shirt,
like a
or something,
bar,
or
like, yeah, like, oh sure, a new shirt, cool.
Well,
I have a hard time with that sometimes.
I like new shirts as long as I like the shirt. And it's fine. If it's under like a certain limit, I don't know what that limit is. You'd have to test me, but there are certain limits where it's like, okay, that's fine. Like when you sent me the nightlight that we still use in our bathroom, the Death Star nightlight.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. I was like, I'll accept that gift. That's awesome.
Yeah. But like that did not cost a fortune.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small thing, but with an Apple computer,
it's also a utility. It's a utility too. Like that is, there's a reason that you should have a nightlight.
I use it every night.
It's great.
But with an Apple computer, that's a pretty significant cost. And I happen to know the exact cost of that because I've been pricing out these computers for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So I was a little frustrated. I didn't want her to like feel bad, but also I wanted her to know, like, it's not too late to take this back and return it. I haven't opened the cellophane.
But yeah, even if you did, I think Apple has a return policy.
Which she made it very clear. She's like, well, if it's not exactly what you want, you have 12 days to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been using it, trying to figure out if it's going to be exactly what I need. And so far, so good. I ran Isotope on it, and I did D-Reverb, and I removed Line, and I did a Line Noise, and then I tried doing the bleed reduction, which I can never get to work. I did that, and it took like 8 minutes to run, and you could hear the fans whirring, but it did it. I was actually surprised that it only took 8 minutes. So it's an impressive little machine.
I'd be interested to know about how well it performs under like recording and stuff.
Yeah, I'll be interested to know that as well once I have some more time to actually test it using the recording. I am not recording this episode on there because I didn't want to move my cords around for my interface and everything. But
yeah.
So yeah, I am grateful for it. Like, I want that to be clear. It is a very nice gift, and I've already put it to good use. I've spent a lot of the week kind of setting it up, you know, as you do with a new computer. It's actually the second newer MacBook that I've set up from scratch in the past couple of weeks, because when I was in Palm Springs for our company retreat and hackathon, I asked them to bring me the spare MacBook Pro that they had. I think it's like a 2000, I don't know, what was like the first model of skinny MacBook Pro? When they really thinned them out.
I mean, in 2016, they changed the form.
Yeah, it was like whatever the form change was, but didn't have Retina.
No, they've had Retinas. Which one didn't? No, only the MacBook Air.
An Air. It felt like the same form factor as this, so maybe it was an older Air, but it didn't have Retina. I don't know. Regardless, they brought that for me, and I basically had to set that one up from scratch. And that included like installing Logic, because my hackathon project was the Breaker podcast. And so I kind of knew how to quickly set this thing up so I could start testing it within my time limit. but then you just keep remembering things. You're like, oh, I need Photoshop on here. Oh, I need Audio Hijack. Oh, dang it. I need to install the Breaker Git so I can access server commands and terminal prompts and all that stuff. So yeah, it's been a lot of like installing things that I keep forgetting. But I think I'm starting to get to the point where I have most of the stuff that I need, and I'm actually able to use it when I'm at school for work and stuff like that. So it is very nice. But one thing that did surprise me, and I had to bring up, because I sent you an Instagram story of May's not long ago, around the time that she must have been buying this thing. She had like shared that she was listening to one of your songs while running or something. So I shared that to you just so you'd know. And you're like, oh, I can't see it. I don't follow May on Instagram or whatever. I didn't even check with if that was true. And I don't know if it is still true, but I do know now that you were communicating with my girlfriend behind my back to help with this purchase. She couldn't, I mean, she actually did ask me what, if I were going to buy a laptop, what would I buy? And she kind of hit it by saying that at work, they like told her that she was due for a computer refresh and that she could get whatever computer she wanted. And she was asking for my opinion on which one to get. And I'm like, what do you mean? Why would you get a laptop? You have a really nice iMac at work. She's like, yeah, but someone else wants an iMac and I don't really need it. So I was thinking about just getting a laptop so I could use it anywhere. Like,
oh, she's good. It was not just over text that we were communicating. Do you remember it must have been like a Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And she just like, I have to go for a walk now.
No,
and she just like stood up while you were watching TV or something.
No.
And then
it's
went
worse
outside.
Than that. So, okay. She was in the house. She had very recently got home from the store. And I was inside too. I'm like, hey, I was just about to go outside and pick up the dog poop, which we hadn't picked up for weeks because there'd been snow on the ground and I'd been gone. So I went outside with like five, you know, thank you, come again bags in order to pick up dog poop in the yard. I was outside. I was away from the house and her phone. What she did, though, was hilarious. She just came outside out of nowhere in a bluster, came down the stairs, yelled something at me like, I forgot my card at the store, and then just ran out the front yard and started walking down the street.
That's so much funnier than what she said. She's like, we were just hanging out, and I said, I have to go for a walk now.
No, that's not what happened. I was picking up dog
shit. Was
that when
she was picking it up?
No.
When was that?
No. This was when she went to talk to you, I'm assuming, to place the order. I think that's what she said. Like, she's like,
maybe.
This is what...
When she was trying to figure out what
she's
what
like,
exactly
I'm about to place this order. I need to make sure that this is what I need to get, because I'm assuming you basically told her exactly what I'd need.
Yeah. And do you look at our messages?
No, she didn't show me your messages.
Did you look back on your and my conversation?
No,
why? Or from around that time? I talked to her on the 16th. That's when she must have been ordering it. So that's when we were talking about it and on the phone. And if you look back at our conversation from the days before that, like in our iMessages, you'll see me being like, so the MacBook Air, it's a pretty sharp looking computer, huh? Like, I'm just grilling you on what computer you actually want and like what configuration you're looking at.
Oh, is this when you're like, when do you think we'll see a Mac Pro redesign this year? And then you're asking me about,
I was trying to figure out a way.
Oh, man, you even asked me, would you max the processor?
Dude, I'm telling you, you had no idea.
You literally explained to me my entire computer.
Yeah.
Weeks ago.
I had to get it out of you.
All right. Well, you guys are clever. But no, she, instead of running down to the store to get her card.
Oh, May,
she,
I'm hot.
She legitimately.
So many invisible high fives right now, May. Just high fiving. We got him. We got him good by getting him that MacBook Pro.
You guys are real tricky. Well, I appreciate it. And she's like, is this the right thing? Before I'm even done explaining to her that I you know, I didn't want
I
her
can't
to get
accept
this. Exactly.
May I can't accept this.
She's like,
this
is this
gift.
Even the right thing? And then she tells me that you were in on
May,
it.
No, May, I wanted a Surface Pro.
I was like, well, if Mike says it's okay, then it's okay. I would have asked his opinion anyway.
Oh man, I'm so glad we got you good.
Well, thanks. It's a nice computer. It's really nice.
You need something to move around with. The iMac is great and it's everything you'll need for a long time, but if you're going to be a student, you're going to need something to work on.
And it has Touch ID. I didn't even know that.
Isn't that great? You didn't even know you wanted it.
So awesome.
On a computer. I'm waiting for Face ID someday. Face ID on a Mac. It's coming.
I haven't been able to play with it at all. I don't even have a phone that has it. I like Touch ID. Yeah. It feels right.
Once you go Face ID, you never go back. That's what they say.
Well, yeah, I'm stoked on this. Stoked to use it. Now, yeah, I still feel weird about it because it's like so new and it's like it's a new precious thing.
So what's the gift thing? Do you feel like you don't deserve the gift? And I'm not asking you to bare your soul. I'm asking like if is in general, like, cause you and I think we react similar to when we get gifts. Is it like, we don't deserve this kind of thing? Or is it like, I don't need this thing? Or is it, cause it's a combination of a lot of different things for me.
Like need is I think it's fairly subjective. I feel like I have needed a computer for a while, like a mobile computer. Mine's been burnt out. It's been sitting in a corner. iMac is great. I'm able to get a lot done here, but there's a lot that I can't do at school and a lot of opportunity to work that I'm missing out on. So in my opinion, yes, I need the computer. Do I deserve the computer?
It's a gift though. You know, like.
Sure.
So you have to think about like people who don't deserve gifts or people that are terrible. Are you a terrible person?
Do I deserve coal on my
not.
Birthday? I don't think so. Do I deserve a brand new shiny $1,000+ laptop? I don't know.
I wouldn't be opposed to getting coal, you know, if it served a benefit, you know, like it could be nice.
If it was clean energy, it'd be fun.
Clean coal. Nothing like clean coal.
No, really what bothered me the most about this is that, like, every big purchase that I've needed to make, or any expensive thing that I've needed in the past, you know, like 6 years, I've been able to buy for myself. I bought this iMac myself. I bought my PS4, like my Switch, like any of the fun stuff or any of the expensive stuff that I've had to, you know, fixes for my car, like anything practical. I've been able to buy it for myself, but since I'm back in school and I've left my full-time job and I have loans that I need to pay back and I have bills that I still need to pay, like a large majority of my money is going out to just reoccurring bills, and not even as many bills as I used to pay before. May and I used to swap back and forth on, you know, like what month we were going to pay rent. It just evens out, you know, that way one person isn't spending $1,000 every 2 months. It's just $500. Well,
it gives you the ability to do something.
Yeah.
Off, like every other month, you know,
it just spreads it out. It's more convenient that way. But since I've been back in school, May has taken up paying the rent because I couldn't really afford to do it. I just can't. Mm-hmm. And she's still working full time and she's able to do that. And so that's nice. That's great. It makes me feel bad. And we've had conversations about it, me and her, where it's like, I feel bad that I'm not able to do more. And she's like, it's not what you need to be worried about. You need to be worried about school. You need to be worried about paying for your school loans. If that's what you want to do right now, then you need to do that. Let me worry about, you know, the bigger bills. And that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And she even offered to take on the other bills that I pay. I pay the electric and I pay the internet. Like, she volunteered to take all that on. I'm like, no, like I need to keep something. I need to feel like I'm contributing something monetarily to our living here. So I don't like living off of somebody else's dime. I don't like the thought of debt, and whether that's school loans or, you know, even if it's like emotional debt to somebody. And that's kind of what it is. Like, May and I are in a committed relationship. It's not like we're not really keeping tabs. We're not keeping score of who's paying for how many dinners or whatever it is, but she is paying for a lot more now than she did before I started going back to school. Like, as much as going back to school is a financial burden on me, it is to her as well, because I'm not able to help out with the things that she's taking on. So from that point of view, and also considering that she just bought a car this year, like, you know, I feel guilty about a gift like this. It's very nice, and I intend to use it. And she's made it very clear that if there's another one that I wanted, that we could go back and swap it out. But this is completely fine. It's not that it's the wrong thing. It's just that it's a very expensive thing, and I'm going to be thinking about that as I use it for probably a very long time, because I have that, like, that's the guilt. Like, it's not like a, I don't deserve this kind of thing. If we were both within our means and making enough money where this would be sort of a disposable thing, that would be something completely different. But I think it's just because of
what is the disposable part of that? What do you mean by disposable thing? Well, what is the disposable,
like,
thing?
Like, if we're both in a position where, and we're not like struggling, like we're fine. We're able to manage all of our bills okay. But if we were both making full-time incomes and didn't have any debt and didn't have any, like, you know, car payments and all of these other things that we, like, both have to deal with, I would feel differently. It's just that this has been a very expensive year.
There's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. You know, I don't think that there's ever going to be a point where you guys are, like, in our society where we're not just you exclusively, but just, like, there's always going to be something you're worrying about in terms of money. You know, because when you have money, you're like, oh, I can spend more. And then, you know, very rarely do people stay within their means, I feel like, especially amongst the people I move around with every day in New York City. I mean, like, we spend 50% of our paycheck on rent, usually, you know, like, that's insane. Sometimes a lot more for some people. I mean, I know Aaron was doing that way more before we got together. Because that's a decision you have to make for yourself. But the thing about a gift, though, is that, like, the guilt that you feel, a gift is, like, there's a lot of reasons to give a gift, because you care about somebody, and it's also because you want to do something for that person that person wouldn't do for themselves. So, like, I feel like May knew that you were not going to buy a computer for yourself until you were ready. And it's going to be a long while before you're ready. And by the time you are ready, you may not have a need for that computer anymore. So you may just go kick rocks and be like, ah, I don't really need it, you know, because that's what I do. That's what I do. Like, I mean, even when a goddamn computer monitor shows up unannounced at my house, and it's something I've been looking for 6 months, I have the gall to be like, I don't need this. I can't take this. We should just send it back to Amazon. We should just put it on the street. We should just do that. And it's just like, it's like, what?
Let's take it.
Because, well, right. And it didn't even inconvenience Aaron. Like, Aaron didn't have to pay the 90 whatever dollars this display is worth,
right,
you know, to gift this to me. But like, just by, you know, having a mix-up, having the sheer luck of having a mix-up at the Amazon factory slash a drug cartel is trying to pin us for something, you don't know. But that, like, you know, I even had a hard time accepting that. And because it's like, it is, you're right, it's a control thing, partially because, like you said, you like to be able to buy things for yourself and have control of the changes you make in your life. And just to know that you're pulling your own weight is another thing. And like, but I do think there's a lot of things at play, like the feeling like you don't deserve a gift or something like that. Like, you're not a bad person. I don't think I'm a bad person, but it's like, what did I do to deserve somebody so great that would do something so amazing for me? And that's like the thing that you have that's really hard to reconcile. And, you know, and it's weird because you're trying to convey how, I don't want to say how worthless you feel. How worthless you feel is not the right term, because like, I don't think it's that dramatic, but it's like, you're like, I don't deserve to be treated this well by you, you know, when you very well do.
Well, I don't know. Like, I think that's for them to decide. Like, I couldn't make that decision.
And they
for
decided
them. And they decided. Like, but you, that doesn't like necessarily you didn't ask mean. For this. No, I didn't ask for it. And I have actually specifically told her to put that idea out of her head, like, several times over the past 2 years.
As long as that's just going to make the person that cares about you want to do it even more, because this is the forbidden fruit. There's a lot of elements to this, because
it is. I mean, it is difficult. It's like, I don't know.
He says not to make him happy. I'm going to make him so happy because he told me not to.
Yeah, she did keep saying, you're going to have a really good birthday. Like, okay.
Well, that's so
and
sweet.
I was like, bleh, bleh. But yeah, and it's a very nice gift, and you're right. I don't, if there's anything I don't know that I deserve, it's that I'm not sure that I deserve somebody who treats me so well and is so
but
like,
why would anybody ever think that?
And
I'm trying not, to be specific here. I want to speak broadly to anybody who could ever feel this way. You know, like if I know you pretty well, you know, and you know, I know that you're a good person. And I think people who don't deserve the gift probably wouldn't think twice about receiving it, you know, like most people, unless they're hiding some really deep, dark secret that they couldn't confide in to anybody. But like, I feel like most people who are like, get this gift that don't deserve it. Like think of kids who get MacBook Pros when they're like 12 years old or whatever, you know, who are just like, that kid doesn't deserve that shit. Like, they didn't even ask for it. Their parents just bought a MacBook Pro. Like 12-year-olds with iPhones, you know, and expensive gadgets and things like that, that they just aren't, they're getting like $15 out of their, they're getting like $200 out of their $2,000 computer or something like that, you know, something that could be done with a Chromebook or something. And like those kids get the MacBook Pro and they're like, oh, cool. Or, you know, stereotypical like TV character people that maybe don't exist in real life because everybody's real and has something going on inside their head. But like, those are the people that won't think twice about receiving a gift so valuable and so thoughtful.
Oh yeah. Like I think there's a lot of my, you know, how I was raised and the way that I received gifts. Like we were fine as a family. Like we got along okay, like, with what we made, but we never had access. Like the only kind of video game platforms that were ever purchased for me were Sega Genesis and, you know, NES. And this is in the 90s. Like,
yeah, probably like beyond.
Or 2000. You know, like it's way beyond. Yeah, like they're already retro. Yeah. My friends have PlayStations at that point. They have N64s. The first.
I guess the takeaway is like, you don't have to like punish yourself for getting a gift. you like saying thank you is so difficult because, again, you feel like you should be punishing yourself because you don't deserve it or whatever. But like, you know, like saying thank you and really feeling good about a gift is such a hard thing to do for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe we've just been saying it over and over. Maybe we're just repeating reasons why and not really being able to see it, but
yeah, we're circling the drain.
For sure. I don't know. It's just like a, I want to come to a better understanding. Cause like, it's like getting angry or something, you know, like you don't understand why you were so angry at a certain point, but then like, there you go. Like a little while later, you just get angry again. And you're like, wait a second, 20 minutes ago, I was not angry at all about this thing. And you're like, right now I'm like, oh, well, like being mad about getting gifts or like getting gifts in general should not be a difficult thing. I should just be able to say thank you and really, you know, cherish the gift and cherish the person who gave me the gift. And then somebody will try to give me a gift and I'll be like, ah, you can't give me this. Stop giving me gifts. I don't want it. I think another part of it is that excess thing. Yeah, you know, like my mom tried to give me a canteen, you know, like a metal thermos or something like that for Christmas. Something small, like it wasn't an expensive thing. It was a nice one, to be fair, but like it wasn't like a costly thing. And I was like, Mom, I have 300 like metal thermoses that I just get from random gigs and jobs and
right.
events. Like you can't just give me another one of these things. Please just don't make me take this back on the airplane or whatever, you know? And maybe part of that is like, if it was a relative stranger, like a distant relative or something, I could be like, it would be easier for me to just accept the gift and say thank you and move on with my life and do whatever I need to do with it. But because it's your mother, because someone that you love very deeply, you know, like your romantic partner, you know, like you feel like you can communicate with them truthfully and honestly and being like, listen, I really can't take this right now. Like you have no idea how many thermoses I have.
Oh man, I would just take it.
you love knickknacks. Like you have
no,
space.
It has
like,
nothing to do with needing another thermos. We also have a lot of cups and mugs here. It's just like, so May talks about the love languages a lot, and I won't get into like a ton of that here.
Yes, I love love languages. I love talking about that.
Sure,
stuff.
But
maybe another episode.
Yeah,
but
maybe
yeah.
It's a good thing for another time. But I've never really read into this much myself, but she's very invested in the idea of it, and she tells me that that like I enjoy like one of my love languages is like receiving gifts or something, and then also I like giving gifts. Like giving gifts is something that I enjoy. So because of that, if somebody gives me a gift, I want to validate the feeling that I think that they also would have in giving the gift. Because when I give a gift, I feel really good. And if someone were to tell me that it's not the right thing, like even though like that's the right thing to do and it's honest and that's okay, like I would feel bad. It would make me feel bad that I gave the gift wrong. Like I was bad at gift giving in that instance. That would make me feel bad. And so I don't want to make anybody else feel bad when they give the gift, which probably isn't accurate in most cases. I think people want to like give you something that you're going to be able to use. And if it's not something that you're going to be able to use, like they don't want it to go to waste. And if that means that they, you know, just return it and then call it a wash or return it and get you something different, like that's up to them. But I never give anybody that control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if May is listening to this, I don't want her to think that that's the case for this computer. Because she has brought it
just,
up a couple
May,
times.
Everything that he just said, don't listen to any none of us.
Well, that's not, yeah, it's just not the case here. Like she's asked a couple times. She's like, is this, are you sure this is like the one you want? Is it going to work? And I'm like, so far, yeah. Like it's been great. These are great computers. I never expected that a MacBook Air would be the computer that I would want. But when that last round came out, I was like, oh, that's a nice computer. It's missing some ports, but
yeah,
that can't be helped.
Ugh.
Dude, those dongles are fucking expensive.
Yeah, well,
ugh.
Yeah. You just need to date somebody that's in IT, and then you'll never have to worry about it again.
I guess so. It's like 60 yeah. bucks.
Yeah, no, it's too expensive for sure. Definitely.
So, it's exciting. I'm excited to try some recording with it. I need to get I guess the only thing that I have to focus on now gear-wise is I shouldn't even say this. Like, I shouldn't even be like thinking about like the next bit of electronic equipment.
No, because if May's listening, she's planning. She's like, yes, now I've got his Christmas gift.
No. I think this
counts for
Christmas too.
This whole podcast has been an entire orchestration of May trying to figure out what to get you for random holidays, and that is what this podcast has been about. In actuality, this podcast about nothing is about buying you gifts, Jacob.
That would be convenient.